It's a countdown.
Hey Mike, how you doing?
Good afternoon. Hey, it doesn't say like recording started.
I know, it's super quiet. Yeah, we're trying out a different platform here. I only paid for a month, so if you don't like it, we'll switch. We'll find a new one, man. No big deal. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Why am I going to this? Because I heard it on the radio today, and I was like, that is something that we need to focus on right now. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. If you ever wondered what God's will is, there you have it.
I just remember that song growing up in the Baptist church.
I lost my little fuzzy thing from my microphone.
Uh-oh.
All I can hear is my computer fan right now. It's really bothering me.
I don't hear anything.
Well, that's good.
I hear you breathing.
That's good. Well, you know what? I was sick last week, so the breathing might be a little heavy. That, and I'm fat. Because I missed 2 days of workouts last week. So.
Funny how you stop working out and you're just like, oh.
Oh, I hated it. I was in such a bad mood. I had to apologize to my kids for being so cranky. Because if I feel like I've been unproductive, I get cranky.
I hear you. I hear you.
Turn up your volume a little bit.
Boom.
So, Lord, thank you for bringing us here together today. Please help us to stay out of your way and make you the center of this conversation, as you are supposed to be the center of our world anyway. Please help these topics to, even though they can be depressing, Lord, help us to find some hope in this and to use these situations that we're going to talk about today to bring some hope to others. In your precious name we pray, amen.
Amen.
So, Mike, I'm going to just go ahead and share my screen real quick. We'll talk about this for just a second and go from there. So I'm going to start with a more kind of sobering one. So if you haven't seen this yet, these two folks here out of Florida committed suicide within days of each other. Both deputies. There's Clayton Austin and Victoria Pacheco. And to make things more depressing, there's their infant that they had together. So I don't know all of the details about this. Probably because I don't really want to. I didn't look into it a whole lot, you know. But okay. I think that's plenty for that. We'll go back to this. Point is, suicides are at an all-time high. And that shouldn't come as a surprise to anybody. We all kind of saw this coming, especially to, you know, about midpoint 2020 when everybody was being isolated and everything else. Cops were being ostracized. And this should not come as a surprise. But at the same time, I think the majority of it is avoidable. There are those people, and I would say the majority of people do show some sort of signs of being headed in this direction. Not all of them. Certainly not all of them. And I know I can think of one in particular off the top of my head that there was no there was no indication that this person was going to do this. But for the most part, there are indicators, and whether these two folks here showed any kind of indication of that kind of thing, I don't know. But, you know, I will say there's a lot that goes into this, none of us can really dissect this and say that this is entirely avoidable or that, you know, this was selfish. I wouldn't ever say that. I think we hear too much of that. And then coming from, you know, the Catholic Church, we hear a lot of condemnation when this kind of stuff happens. And that's pretty unfortunate too, because I don't think it's supposed to be that way. Michael, I can only think of two examples biblically where, you know, suicide occurred, and maybe you can think of more, but the two I'm thinking of are Saul, King Saul, when he was, you know, wounded and he, fell on his sword or whatever. Right. And then the other would be Judas at the point where he realized what he had done and kind of lost hope. But I think for both of those cases, the missing element is hope.
I can't think of anything else. I mean, definitely there's no hope in their lives, but at the same time, it's very evident that it was selfish. You know, my condolences and prayers go out to the family of the deputies. I can't imagine, Lord willing, the rapture happens, but I can't imagine that young child is going to grow up not knowing his parents, you know, at least blood parents, you know. Obviously, I'm sure families are going to fight for the custody of that baby, and hopefully that baby will, you know, come to a place of being loved on and being cared for and you know. That's awesome. Oh, boy. I don't know how you're going to edit that one.
Oh, I don't get to. If I didn't like those dogs so much, I'd kill them.
Thin Line Believers bloopers.
Yeah, jeez.
That is such an intimate topic. Yeah. No, you know, obviously you mentioned King Saul and Judas, and you know, suicide is such a sensitive topic. And when I went to, you know, Bible college, cemetery, or whatever you want to call it, my Bible college professor, his, you know, son committed suicide, I believe at the age of 16. But there was a couple of factors involved in this situation. He got introduced to the Ouija board from some people, from other friends, that was not good. So, you know, there's that open gate, the demonic gate that's there. and in talking with my Bible college professor, he knew that his son was a believer, but yet with this recent discovery of the fact that I don't know if they were friends, but if they were neighborhood kids that introduced him to the Ouija board, and he was unbeknownst to that, you know, and you know, it's even King Nebuchadnezzar, right? He acted himself deranged. Even King David, you know, was it with King Achan where he was foaming at the mouth? But taking your own life, it's such a sensitive topic, and I can understand why humans do it, but then I could also understand why you shouldn't do it. The heartache and the pain that causes, you know, on your family. And, you know, the question has to be asked is what I'm going through as an individual so it's so important that I end my life, right? And suicides are up not only in our, you know, the people that wear the uniform and the badge, but suicides are up everywhere right now, especially with the scamdemic and, you know, what it does, what it's doing to kids and stuff like that. So I was just reading last night on the news that I think an 11-year-old girl committed suicide, and the parents are suing Snapchat and Instagram and all that for, I don't know, some sort of millions of dollars because they could have prevented it. So like the scripture that you mentioned in Thessalonians, I remember growing up as a Baptist kid singing that verse. You know, rejoice evermore, for this is the will of God. Rejoice evermore, for this is the will of God, right? And it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. And I've learned over the years, you know, becoming a father and a husband and all that. And I remember Pastor Chuck saying this. He's like, you can't be thankful for everything, but you could still find thanksgiving in the situation. You know, you can't be thankful for rape. You can't be thankful for murder. But in that, you can find something thankful. And in this particular situation with two deputies committing suicide and leaving behind a loved one, I don't know how that's going to work out, but it could be that there's a couple that can't get pregnant and they're needing a baby, right? You know, you've done some trooper works where you pulled over some people and you're just like, they're on stuff, right? They got track marks on their elbows and you got, you know, women, you know, giving up sex, you know, so they can get a hit or a heroin hit, whatever, and they get pregnant. They pop the baby out and they don't want it, you know? But then you find a couple that can't have babies and all of a sudden they're told, hey, there's a baby, but you have to keep in mind that mom's been addicted to heroin and on, you know, so there's that element of just to be able to be thankful in a situation, regardless of how dire it might be. But it still doesn't change the fact that suicide, in my opinion, it is a very vile, selfish act. And you know, I don't know how else to put it. I mean, I know I've officiated several funerals myself, and some of them were in my young adult group. And, you know, one in particular, I mean, handsome looking kid, got married and had kids. And then out of nowhere, he hung himself in the garage and his oldest son found him. And the oldest son was trying to lift up dad to, you know, but he was already gone. And I think at the time, his boy was 8 or 9 years old. You know, the trauma that's going to, he's going to go through, you know. And so, and, you know, families have asked me why. They ask why. And for the life of me, that's one question I could never answer when it comes to suicide. You know, I honestly think sometimes, you know, the devil can't possess you as a believer, but he can definitely oppress you. So I think people that fall under the spell of, you know, suicide, Is the devil, has the devil put a recliner next to your ear and is whispering stupidity? Just take your life. You're worthless. You know, your wife hates you. Your family hates you. And on and on and on. And then you start believing in that, right? There's that cycle where, you know, like you mentioned, they have no hope. So some, because they have no hope, they go into that vortex of, I'm not valuable. I'm not, you know, any good for my family, and on and on. And you're just going into that vortex. And I think Satan and his henchmen knows that. And so they whisper that crap into your ear. I mean, I've spoken with a few people in the Christian church that have tried and got very close to suicide. Back in California, when I was an assistant pastor, I got called to the hospital because they try to commit suicide. And of course, they throw my name out as the pastor they want to see. And I'm like, man, who is this person? And I go in. I mean, close. Doctor said they were like just not inches or centimeters. I mean, like micromilliliters, where if they cut, they would have bled out to death. It was, I mean, that close. Mm-hmm. And, you know, doc, you know, because normally when I go to the hospital, I'll visit with the doctors and I'm like, hey, let me see the pictures. They're like, are you sure? I was like, yeah, I want to see how close they got. And I mean, this girl cut on her left this close. And by the grace of God, because this wasn't bleeding like it was, she did it on the right side. And then because it hurt so much, she bandaged herself. You know, and then family found her because she went unconscious. She took some sleeping pills too. And I was at the hospital, and I personally didn't know her, but she was listening to my Bible studies. She came to a couple of my stuff, and you know, I asked her, I said, can I ask you why? And one of the things that she mentioned was she had no hope. You know, and I think that's important, because I think people that commit suicide, they no longer are living, or especially if they're not believers, but they're no longer living for the Lord, but they're not living for a purpose, like, you know, for their spouse or, you know, I mean, how could you, I don't know, how could you, if you're the guy, how do you hook up with this hot looking Latina, get her pregnant, have a baby, and then tell yourself, all right, I'm gonna commit suicide? I don't get that thought process. You know? And then you're the Latina, and you're like, well, the love of my life is gone. Like, okay, I don't know any mothers that would do that, but I've seen crazy stuff in the animal kingdom where some mothers that deliver kids, and for some reason they eat their own, you know?
Well, I will say this. So, as far as this guy's mindset, I don't know, but having been pretty close with some that have been suicidal, I will say that when they get to a certain point, you know, lack of hope, whatever it is, they're not thinking rationally.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times all they really want, whether the suicide is intentional or not, they want to get to a point where they don't feel the pain anymore. And I think that's the case with a lot of overdoses, you know, they become, dependent on a substance to numb the pain that they're dealing with. And when it doesn't work anymore, I mean, you know how it goes. They increase until at a certain point it's fatal. And I don't know. I've been to so many of these, and it's not always the people that you expect it to be. You know, maybe it's, I mean, one time it was a guy with riverfront property, massive property. I think he was a doctor, and he committed suicide in his Tesla. You know, and so it's not necessarily, you know, just the deputy who's having a hard time because his job is full of critical incidents and whatnot. It could be just about anybody, but, and I think that's one of the reasons that we need to, in the future, we're going to go through some stuff with substance abuse and things like that, because it is pretty prevalent in this job. I think it was 2019 that the suicide number was higher than the line of duty death number for law enforcement. And I don't see that going back the other direction, really. I mean, the line of duty deaths is pretty high too, and I've got another story to do with that that we'll share here in just a minute. But and then as far as you know, this gal, this female deputy, what awful timing, because postpartum depression
yes.
is nasty stuff. Seriously nasty stuff. My wife, especially after we had our son, she dealt with that, and it was fairly severe. And so that, you know, along with, you know, the death of her loved one and everything else, I'm sure that was quite the pile, I would say. And speaking of hope, you know, I looked up in Romans 5:5, it says, "And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." And I think a missing component for a lot of folks who do end up being suicidal, and this doesn't mean that Christians don't become suicidal, but I think that being a believer and having Christ to put our hope in is huge. It's massive. For somebody who's not a believer, you know, where does your hope come from? And that would be a serious question I would ask, you know, a non-believer. Where exactly does your hope come from? Because I couldn't do it without my faith.
You know, brother, I think it's a suicide is a never ending topic. I mean, obviously, you know, you mentioned Judas Iscariot and then King Saul, who, you know, took their own lives, and obviously they weren't genuine believers. And so, you know, and I think, you know, like it's, you know, Paul tells us, well, I think it's Paul in the book of Hebrews, but, you know, you know, when we see, you know, evidence, hope is the evidence, you know, that we have a future something to look forward to, right? And, well, I mean, let's look at it just logically. When we were going through academy, whether it's police, fire, or boot camp in the military, right? You get the nerves when you first sign up. First day you show up, you're in your whatever, khakis, you know, dickies, you got your shirt tucked in, you got your boots polished, but you got your idiot next to you doesn't have it polished, and you're just both nervous, right? First week, first day, you don't even go to the classroom. They're yelling at you, line up, down, down, every you're down, down, one, down, I didn't say get up, damn it, two, you know, and I mean, the guys that go in prepared to the academy, it's just push-ups, right? And you're doing it, and you're fit. But as the days go on, as the weeks go on, there's that hope. I'm going to graduate, and I'm going to get a certificate, right? Yeah. So there's that short hope, right, in the sense of I'm hoping for success, or I'm hoping for good that's to come. I don't see it physically or tangibly, but I know it's down the line. And and I think the issue that a lot of people, they only, it's like that Eeyore syndrome, right? They only see their immediate self. Oh, woe is me. Da, 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 right? And It's funny how Disney characters on that, they have Eeyore, you got Tigger, you got Piglet, you got the rabbit, and you got Pooh, right? Am I missing anybody else?
I don't know. Pooh. Just makes me laugh.
But if you think about it, those characters are like personalities at large, right? Because you got the cops or firefighters, they're always like Tigger. Dun, dun. And they're just like, yeah, right? They don't see anything bad. Like, even in a bad situation, they're like, hey, everything's going to be okay. They're the ones that sees half glass full at everything, right? Then you got the Eeyores that are, not only is the half glass empty, it's just gone. Like, they just walk. I mean, Eeyores is a gray character too. Very cloudy, you know. Then you got Pooh, who just, man, he just wants to eat honey and just be like, oh, right?
I'm gonna be honest, man. I didn't expect this to go on Winnie the
Hey, why not? But I bring it up because so many people are living in that realm, in the sense of Disney, in the sense of I only identify as Eeyore, so therefore I have to live like Eeyore. Or I identify as Tigger, you know, and because we all have friends that are like always jovial, like, oh man, today is a beautiful day. And you're looking out, you're like, dude, we're in Oregon. It's cloudy right now. It's drizzly. What do you mean? But then they're like, it's a beautiful day because beyond those clouds, the sun's shining. Right? And that's cool. But then you also have those coworkers, all they see is the negative. It's just, they don't see anything good. And I'm realizing that hope is what overcomes that. Right? Hope is what overcomes the deficiencies that's in our mind and in our hearts. Like you and I both know, if, like, I've done this, and I'm sure you've done this with your wife and your kids. When I was a firefighter, when I was a cop, when I told my wife and my kids, I love you guys. And it's that genuineness of, man, I really mean it because I don't know if I'm going to die tonight. You know, like those of us that's been in the badge or those of us that's been in military, you know, we understand that there is that element of we could die. As believers, if I die, I'm going to heaven, right? As non-believers, you don't have that hope. So the fact that there's so many suicides in the uniform, that just tells you the ones that are believers in uniform are not doing a good job of sharing the love of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. I think there's a fear of doing that. I don't know if it's, I don't really know what it is. You know, if there's some sort of stigma attached to that or something like that. You know, people say, oh, it is, people think it's awkward to talk about your faith. Well, not if you're living it. You know, not if you're living it. But I will say this because I'd like to move on to the next topic here real quick in just a minute, but I will say this. You know, if you haven't been to a suicide prevention class, they are good. They're not fun, but they're good. And you know, if you know of somebody who you think might be, I mean, if you're seeing those red flags, and I don't think I need to tell you what they are, but if you're seeing those red flags, seriously confront them. Who cares? You know, if it's embarrassing for them or you, who cares? I mean, if you're keeping somebody alive, confront them. Hey, are you thinking about committing suicide? You know, there's people that have said, well, I don't want to put that idea in their head. Well, you're never going to put that idea in somebody's head. If it's in there, it's in there. You know, you're not going to, they're not going to be like, oh, maybe I could do that. Mm-hmm. That's not how it works. No, so we need to get rid of that stigma of, you know, suffering in silence. And if you're suffering yourself, reach out to somebody, reach out to a pastor, a friend, what else is there? Peer support, you know, chaplain, whatever. Reach out to somebody. And, you know, I would almost guarantee in every, you know, state in the nation, there are protections for you as a police officer. They're not going to show up, say you're not fit for duty and everything else. And even if they did, you'd still be alive. Okay, you're a lot better. You're a lot more good to your family alive than dead, despite what, you know, we tend to tell ourselves. You know, when we get to that place, we're not thinking logically and rationally. So, okay, Mike, let's talk about the next depressing subject here. Here you go. If you're watching this, I just pulled up a headline here. It says, slain NYPD officer exemplifies nationwide spike in line of duty deaths. Now, it says something down here I don't really like. It says, the killings of police officers in jurisdictions as different as New York City and Utah over the past weekend have underlined a spike in line of duty death for cops facing armed suspects during what were expected to be, quote, routine, unquote, calls. I don't like that word. I like the word routine there, Mike.
They actually put quotes around it?
Yep. Yeah, they put quotes around it. And I'll read one more here. New York City police officers Jason Rivera and Wilbert Mora were shot while responding to a domestic disturbance call at a Harlem apartment on Friday. The third and fourth shootings of New York City police officers in the line of duty in the last week, and a stark example of the potential for deadly violence behind even mundane calls, underscored by the persistent flow of illegal firearms to the so-called Iron Pipeline up the Eastern Seaboard, reports New York Times. Okay. I don't think this has anything to do with firearms, and nor is this a routine call. If anything, we should know, if you're a police officer, you should know that going into a domestic disturbance is nothing routine. There's nothing routine about it. You're going into a situation where emotions are high. You're probably uninvited by at least half of the party involved, right? And it's going to be the party that doesn't want to go along with the program. So this is not a routine call, and I hate that they called it that. But this case here is extremely tragic. This is a one-year officer, and I think the other officer that got shot was only like a 2 or 3 year officer. So here you've got these young guys who wanted to, you know, make a difference in their community, go into this situation and end up paying the price, the ultimate sacrifice. And we're seeing a whole lot of this, and I will say this, it's spiritual. And spiritual, and we've seen this attack on the increase for the last 2 years. So,
I think you're right. How can I say this?
Gingerly.
When the righteous don't stand up, then you got the looky-loos that are going to come out of their hellhole and try to ruin the world. You know, and so unfortunately, there is the push from one side of the government to, you know, shut down police departments, right? And then you've got the other side who's saying, no, what are you talking about? And we all know that crime is at its all-time highest. And then we also know that the left are basically allowing criminals to walk, and then, arresting those that are on the right and sticking them in jail. So, and to say that cops that I heard that saying that, well, you signed up for this,
Yeah, I guess I did, sort of.
I think these people that, well, I think there's a couple things. Number one, like you said, I think it's spiritual. There's definitely a spiritual demonic activity on this. And, I was just reading on the newspaper that Tom Brady's wife, Gisele Bündchen, practices witchcraft, and that she ha
Oh, neat.
and that she has a little altar set up at the games. And Tom Brady is quoted saying that when she first told me this, everything kind of like happened. I was just like, what in God's name?
Explains the Rams win.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm kind of glad that Rams. I'll say this. I think the Bible says we don't war against flesh and blood, but against spiritual principalities, right? So for those of us that are believers, and let me emphasize believers in the sense of you are aware that demon possession is real. You are aware of the fact that Satan is real. You are the fact that there's other activities taking place, right? Because as cops and firefighters, we can be very skeptical. Like, ah, if I don't see it, I don't believe it. And there are times when, you arrest somebody. Supposedly, this guy's on meth, but it's taking like 10 guys to hold one person down. And this guy's got super strength, okay? That's when you know this is something more in the spiritual realm. And what better way to destroy a country, a county, a city than to destroy the ones that are the protectors? And if you can replace the righteous ones in uniform with unrighteous ones, then they can be controlled by, monetary goods. It's like, what is it? Lord of the Rings? Who's that? Is it Gollum with the ring? Special, right? I mean, that was his driving force. And so, I'm full of characters today, aren't I?
Nice references.
But like, the people that write these freaking articles piss me off because it's like, oh, it's routine. You signed up for this. I'm like, no, I did not. I didn't sign up to get spit at. I didn't get signed up to get kicked in the nuts. I didn't sign up to get called all kinds of names. And it's like, no, that's that person's responsibility who did that. Not, and so, but unfortunately, the righteous are silent too right now, in my opinion. You've got chiefs and commanders that are not wanting to stand up for their officers. They're being, I don't know, I guess held at their job where the town mayor or the council's like, if you don't do what we ask you to do, we're going to take your retirement away or whatever. We're not going to go. And it's almost scary because there's a spiritual element to all this, and we're not seeing it. And like I stopped reading the news. Like I get tidbits if people send me stuff, and I was like, okay, I'll look into it. I definitely don't look at any mainstream media. Like I don't look at, the Communist News Network, and I don't look at NBC or CBS News. Fox, maybe just a little. But like, okay, I'm like, I gotta go look for other news sources to see that's, reliable.
Yeah.
But I will say this, the people that say, oh, they don't need cops and they don't need firefighters. If you ever get to that point, we're going to be in a third world country. That's what we're going to become. You know?
Yeah, I think there's a reason for all this. I think what they're wanting to do is get rid of the ones that are standing for righteousness so that they can get the ones that they can control. It's the same thing that happened with the brown shirts, in Nazi Germany. You federalize it, you pick the ones that you can control, and then you have full power. But what I'm disappointed to see is that a lot of the folks, even the ones that I came on with, are leaving, and these are awesome people, and they've been demoralized, which is totally understandable. Now, I do think that in a lot of the cases, it's a God thing. It's God directing them to do something different, and I can't blame them for that one bit. I think that everybody has a shelf life when it comes to, being in law enforcement, but mandates, public outcry crap, and not even public, but woke outcry crap is, I think a lot of that is pushing people out of law enforcement that really should be in law enforcement. And so this is a lot of what we see is we see this next generation coming up who don't have the experience that the older generation do, and that experience is leaving without being shared because it's not the line of work that it used to be. And the amount that it's changed in my tenure is insane. But speaking of spiritual and that kind of stuff, this is definitely not the time to shrink back. This is a time to step up to the plate, I think, as a believer. And to start going to war, I mean, we, and you're the same, Mike, we would put on that uniform and we knew that we were going into a battle zone. But a lot of times you didn't really feel that way. You put the uniform on and you walk out the door and it's like, oh, derp, derp, doing my thing again. But now it's a lot different. Now you put on that uniform and you can see in the news every day those that have paid that sacrifice. And now it's kind of like, okay, this war zone is 100% more real than it used to be. And so now it's time to actually put on the full armor of God. And that's where the war is going to be won.
Yeah, talking about armors, like in every career, those, like when you go to the military, you go to boot camp and teach you the basic stuff, right? Police, how to handle a gun, fire, how to put on turnout gear and how to handle the hose, all that stuff. And you do
How to
that,
dry it out, how to order drive through.
yeah, order drive through, how to sit in the recliner, and see the police car go by, and they're like, "Oh, I wonder if it's an accident." But you go through all that training so that you know how to use your armor. I think as Christians, we know how to say, "Put on the whole armor of God." But let me just throw something out at you and wait, get your thoughts too. Is we as Christians say, "Hey, let's put on the whole armor of God." And those Christians don't know how to use those armor pieces. You know what I mean? Like they're not fitted, so to speak.
Oh, 100%. For example, what was the style? You remember the old shooting style, right?
The FBI?
You'd stand from the side.
Yeah. What was
Or
that? Was that LA
yeah, or
City?
that.
Whatever. LAPD.
Right? And then we start getting body armor. And it changes the way we do everything. Now our shooting stance, it's triangulated with our body armor out front. you know, it all serves a purpose and it all works together. Mm-hmm. So I totally get what you're saying. And that's what comes to mind when you say that, because before putting on the armor, we did things totally different. Right. Mm-hmm. But now that we have the body armor, we put it on correctly. It's fitted correctly. Because otherwise, what's the point if you're wearing just a, you know, bra, you know, a ballistic bra? It's pointless. But you put it on, you fit it right, and you utilize it correctly. And you're not just protecting yourself, but you're also going on the offense, right? And I think that's the same in our spiritual life.
And that's the thing is, I think we Christians, you know, we know, a lot of us know scripture. We've memorized it. We've, you know, put it here versus here. But then when it comes to actually applying that, you're like, oh crap, what am I supposed to do? Right? So, you know, we all know women and men in uniform that when it comes to that, an incident, when it happens, they freeze. They're like, you know, and you're like, okay, now is not the time for me to lecture you. Get the hell out of my way. Stay down. Yeah. Go back to your car. Mm-hmm. Be our cover officer. Go over there. Because now you've become possibly an extra body. You know, it's like what was it, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago? Where the officer finds a suspect and he's afraid to pull his gun and shoot him. You know?
Oh, yeah. I remember that video.
Yeah, they're in a little alleyway in the, you know, and I think it's an African-American guy. And he's like telling dispatch, he's like, oh, he's got a weapon. And you're like, dude, shut up, pull your gun and shoot him. You know?
Yeah.
But he
froze. Do something.
I mean, obviously, those are the kind of guys like you need to fire. You know?
Yeah, and I don't know his background either, if there was something that led up to that. But I was yelling at that.
Oh, video. I know. But do you know what I'm saying? I mean, imagine if Christians had body cams on them, right? Mm-hmm. And they were going through an incident and their mind and thought process was recorded. And if they were to realize the weaknesses, instead of coming down on yourself, train in such a way that you become stronger, right? Mm-hmm. So that you recorrect that bad habit with a good habit, right? You know, like you were saying, we heard about a man with a gun in a duplex kind of building. It has multiple rooms in a resort area. And, you know, possibly when dispatch says possibly shots fired, I was like, what?
Okay. You know, what does that mean?
And I was like, I was there in the area and I was like, dispatch, I didn't hear any shots. And of course the dispatcher is like, well, we know there's a gun involved. I was like, oh, okay, cool. So I was near my car, you know, and I'm like, cool, I'm going to put my heavy vest on, got my AR. I'm like, cool, let's rock and roll. Put my body cam on that one. I show up and my senior officer, so he's a little younger than me, but he shows up. He's, you know, he's got some years more than me. He bought his own outer vest carrier. He put it on top of his own body vest. So he's got two vests on now. Mm-hmm. And it's heavy. Body cam is still under the bottom of his outer carrier. So it's lopsided. And he could barely move. And he shows up to the incident. And it's two of us. And we're trying to clear the stairwell. And he's getting caught on like the rail. I'm just like, hey, I need you to either take that off and put your, you know, keep your, because you have your vest still on, or do something else because you're holding up this movement here. And that taught me something, because I still had to do what I had to deal with, because I'm like, either you're gonna go with me or you don't, because this guy's got a gun. Right. And so I said, you be my cover officer right here at the landing base, because we don't know which floor he was on. And I said, don't go ahead of me. So I took over command of the incident, even though he's my senior officer. And luckily I found the guy completely drunk as hell. And he ended up having a gun in his waist, and I said, "Don't move." You know, I had my gun to his head, you know, and then finally I called the other senior officer. I said, "He's got a gun in his front, you know, front waistband." And I had him pinned down, but I didn't want to mess around with him. So he comes and gets the gun. Ended up being a pellet gun, thank God.
Of course.
You know, yeah. But, you know, people called it in. He had a gun. So, but it just makes you realize, as monotonous sometimes training is, like, you know, monthly, quarterly training. Hey, we're going to do firearms this week, or we're going to do hose lays. You know, we're going to do axe work. We're going to do shooting or whatever. You train in such a way so that not you're that you're a sitting duck, so but you can advance the call, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have a knife, then I have a gun, right?
Yeah.
You have a fist, I have a baton. So, you know, we want to one up the enemy. And I think as Christians, we don't know about that, or we're unaware, you know,
yeah.
Like, oh, I need to put on the whole armor of God. Well, what does that mean? You know, like if you're a Christian,
well, what's the verse that says, they deny the power thereof. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh,
speaking of end days, it was written by Paul, of course.
Yeah.
I think it's in Timothy, 2 Timothy.
Yeah.
Anyway, same type of deal, right? We know the word, but we don't know the power of it. We don't know the power that the Holy Spirit has within us. The other night, my boy woke up, and this happens on occasion, you know, he'll wake up scared or something,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, he's young. He's a little kid. So I went in there, and I thought, you know what? This is a good time. He's at the right age to start teaching him this stuff. And so I went in there, and I explained to him how to essentially how to rebuke the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Mike, but I think it comes out of – I'm pretty sure it comes out of Jude when – Michael was fighting over Satan over the body of Moses, mm-hmm. right? Now, I don't really know exactly why that occurred. I have my guesses, but I just remember in that Michael didn't rebuke Satan himself. What he said was, "The Lord rebuke you."
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And that is what ultimately won that battle. Confrontation. And so I'm teaching my boy to do, you know, something similar.
Yeah.
What do you got?
That scripture you mentioned, it's 2 Timothy chapter 3, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof.
There you go.
And
we see a lot of that, right?
And you know, I think a lot of Christians they want that scripture. Is it Philippians? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right?
Yeah.
But then I'm like, what does a previous verse say? You know, but Paul talks about it, right? In his writings where he says, that I might know the power of his resurrection with the fellowship of his suffering,
mm-hmm.
right? There's multiple things where it says, when I'm weak, he is strong. You know?
Yeah.
You know, there's that saying, you know, God does some of his best work in the dark. Mm-hmm. And having said that, you know, you and I have talked about this, you know, over the phone in the past in Psalm 144, whereas I teach my hands to war. Right?
Yeah.
How many Christians would really want to do that? You know, like, seriously, like, oh, that's not the loving thing to do. I'm like, yeah, we need to go battle. We need to war.
Oh, you know, that's one of the reasons I like Victor Marx.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, here's a guy who lives his faith out. I mean, this is not a time to sit back and just be kind to everybody.
I mean, I hate to say this, but there's some Calvary Chapel pastors and... You know, they were quote, I'm not going to name them, but they were quoted from a conference saying that if someone breaks into their house, that he wouldn't shoot them.
Oh, I remember that.
You know, and I was, when I saw that video, I was just banging my head. I'm like, what? You know, and so.
Paul said love always protects. Mm-hmm. Come on.
And going back to the whole armory, right? When you become a cop or a firefighter, soldier, you get fitted for your equipment.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get fitted for the spiritual equipment that we need to wear, right? And
then break it in, use it.
Yeah, right? I mean, I've shared the fact that, you know, when I went through public safety, I didn't want new equipment. I wanted equipment that was already broken in. You know, things like shoes, maybe, you know, I wanted to fit to, you know, to my foot. But when it came to other stuff like belts, vests, you know, I'm like, hey, it fits, I'm good, you know. But I think a lot of Christians have a lot of new armory because it's not worked in, you know.
That's some nice shiny armor you got there.
Well, it's like right now, right? It's January. People have made new, you know, New Year's resolution. They went to the gym and they bought a bunch of stuff. And then you go on Facebook and you go on Craigslist. You're just like, hey, man, this looks new. They're like, yeah, I'm not going to use this barbell, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's a win-win situation for someone buying it. But a lot of Christians that way, unfortunately, they, you know, they go to church and they get inspired by these Luke, you know, seeker-friendly messages, you know, sermonettes for the Christian. And next thing you know, when they are facing with the real battle, they're just like, what am I supposed to do? You know, and what the Bible says that we ought to be like Bereans, right? We're supposed to study the Word of God, test all things. And, you know, what do you do before you go out? You know, make sure you got one in the chamber, right? And you test your tasers out. You got, boom, I got a round in the AR. I got water in the hose or whatever. And you do that for work, but then sometimes spiritually we don't do that. Like, we're not testing out the Word of God. And so I think there's a grave danger there, you know. And law enforcement, like I have a member that goes to my church. He's like thin blue line all the way. I mean, all the shirts that he wears is thin blue line still. And he's medically retired. And he's been medically retired since like 2004, 2005. But he still is that. But he said he would never be a cop now in today's day and age.
Well,
you know, and partly because he was of the generation where there was no body cams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was, you were lucky if you, I think you had audio.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah,
he just...
handwritten reports and everything.
Yeah. You know, and it's not like, it's like, okay, you get rid of this suspect, did this, just arrested, done. Now, I was sitting in my patrol car,
on duty, in uniform, displaying, you know, blah, 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 blah.
And so, but yeah, so he, but he still lives. Then this is where I give him kudos. You're a retired, medically retired cop, but you still have that mindset of a cop. Like when he hugs me, mm-hmm. he pats me down. Yeah. You know? And nice. I was like, yeah. I'm not that kind of guy. He's like, I know, but I'm still going to pat you down. You know? And kudos to him. Because it just tells you that his training is just not in here, it's in here.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And, you know, and he wants to somehow be more effective in ministering to the younger cops that are going through the what they're about to go through in today's day and age, you know, in today's society. And I mean, you know,
yep.
There is power that is readily available from the Holy Spirit, but you've got to be willing to receive it and to be used by Him, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And yeah, don't get me started.
Yep.
I'm going to go.
No, you know what? I think this is a good subject for next week. I think we should break down the, mm-hmm. break down the armor, maybe modernize it a little bit, take it from the Roman armor into, you know, maybe some law enforcement body armor, see what it looks like. And I think maybe we'll bring that to you next week. You like
oh,
that?
That's cool. There's some sound effects on this one.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, main thing I wanted to touch on is that the troubles we are going through right now are spiritual. They manifest themselves, as we've said many times in the past. They manifest themselves in the physical. And as, you know, especially as a police officer, you're going to see this because you are supposed to be standing for righteousness and the enemy hates that. So you better put on the armor, and next week we'll talk about what that armor is and how you utilize it.
Amen.
Mike, give us a prayer.
Yeah. Lord, we come before you, and Lord, you tell us throughout the scriptures that when we call upon you, you hear us, Lord. And we lift up those that wear the badge. We lift up our brothers and sisters that wear the badge, Lord. And we ask that, Lord, you just have a special hedge of protection around them, Lord, that if you've called them to this career, to wear the badge, whether as a police officer, as a firefighter, as a soldier, Lord, we ask that you would instill it in their hearts that they're going to fall back on their calling because you've called them. And Lord, when they face danger, Lord, will you allow them to face danger at head value, Lord, just right into the storm, Lord. And we ask that you would just pour out your spirit upon them. Father, I want to lift up the two deputies that committed suicide and leaving behind the little one. I pray that you would have a special plan for that little one, Lord. That you would surround him with a mom and dad that would love you. That you would reiterate Jeremiah 29 in his life, that you have a plan for him. And so, Lord, we just ask that you would just do a mighty work in their life. Lord, we ask for a special blessing on Thin Line Believers. Help us, Lord, to be faithful. Help us to continue to tread the waters of just doing weekly podcasts, Lord, because we know our brothers and sisters in arms are sometimes struggling in their walks with the Lord. And so, Lord, we want to be used to be there to help them and to be there for them, Lord God. And so we just lift up this topic and this subject to you, God, and may you just bless it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Watch this. Whoa.
Oh, man.
More sound effects.
We're going nice. Like Dan Bongino style.
That's right. Okay, next week, Armor God, get ready, because we're going to kit up.
See you. Yeah.